Mother's Day to all the ladies. You know, there was a scripture prayed earlier. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. And that's my prayer today for all of us and for myself. I want to talk to you today about faith. Faith. You know, it sounds cliche or simple, but there's a whole lot involved when it comes to faith. And, you know, we're going to be looking in the Hebrews chapter 11 today, which speaks a lot about faith. Faith is something that's it's living and active, and that's how God has designed it and desires it to be. And so Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for," that is, the realization of things hoped for, "and the evidence of things not seen." The evidence of things not seen, that is, the confidence and the hope for things not seen. "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And by faith we understand that the worlds," or the ages, "were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." So think about that. The things that are seen were not made by the things that are visible. What is faith? What is faith? We see we hear a description of it there, but truly, what is faith? It's the substance or the realization of things hoped for, and it's the evidence or the confidence or the hope of things not seen. It's belief. It's believing. How much faith do you have? How strong is your faith? Think about that. Two questions. How much faith do you have? And how strong is your faith? What are you doing with your faith? The Bible tells us that each one of us is given a measure of faith in Romans 12. Each one to each is given a measure of faith. So you, no matter where you are in your walk with God, you have a measure of faith. How strong is it? And what are you doing with it? In verse 4 of Hebrews, it says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks." In other words, even though he was dead, the testimony of his faith still speaks. Abel's offering was done in faith. Abel made his offering to God by faith. So then it pleased God. It pleased God. Verse 6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Not those who play patty cake with him or footsies with him, but those who diligently seek him. Diligently means passionately, all out in perseverance of him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to him must believe that he is God, that he is who he says he is, that he is the creator of all that is and all that will be. So let me ask you this morning. God is pleased with faith that believes him. Not just believes in him, but believes him. You see, we can believe in God and not believe him. Well, what do I mean by that? I see it all the time. People come to church. Many of them, most of them probably, believe in God. But do they believe God? Do you believe God can do in your life what he does in other people's lives? Do you believe that God can do in your life what he's done that we read in the Bible? Do you believe that through prayer, God can do? Do you believe him? You know, we can sit in church and say yes, but you know what? Time after time after time, we offer prayer here for healing and other things, and people sit. That's a statement. Not my statement. That's a statement made by those people. If you need healing, do you believe him? Do you believe that he can heal you? Do you believe that he will? You see, it's the difference between believing in God and believing him. Those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seeking. Diligent means ongoing, continually, every day seeking him. And he will reward those who diligently seek him. So let me ask you this. Do you think your faith is strong? Do you think your faith is strong? It's quiet. Maybe you think your faith is strong and you don't want to say so. Maybe you think your faith is strong or you're not sure. Well, let's measure our faith this morning. We're going to measure our faith with this. Let's compare our faith with examples in Scripture. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. God said, Abraham, go. Go. And Abraham went not knowing where he was going. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been in that position and done what Abraham did? Just respond by faith? You know, I've experienced this in the past. In fact, it was the beginning of my call to full-time ministry. I lived within a mile or two of where I was born and grew up all my life. And then God said, go to another city and help someone with another church. Sell and leave the place you've lived your whole life. And I was in my 40s, late 40s. You know, that was different. So I had a choice to make. Do something that seemed totally out of common sense, out of reason, and I responded. And it was what God was beginning to put into place that led me to where I am right now. I wish I could say, you see, faith has a tendency to ebb and flow. It has a tendency to ebb and flow. And it ebbs and flows based on us, not based on God, because God doesn't ebb and flow. God is steady. As I stand here today, I wish I could say every day, constantly, I have the same faith that I had then, to step out and sell my house and go to another city and move to a place I lived all my life. But to be honest with you, my faith ebbs and flows. It's not always that strong. And the reason for it is me, not him. Because he doesn't ebb and flow. Have you ever done it? Has he ever said, go, leave, move, do this, do that? And I'm not talking about change residence, just something during the day. And you thought, that's wacko. You see, Abraham obeyed. He said, leave and go. And I know other people that have done that. I know others that have left jobs without another job lined up and just said, leave and go. You see, God is a God of faith. And faith is what pleases God. Because the word says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so, do you have a desire to please God? Then it's all about faith. It's all about faith. Let's look further into this. In verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So God had told Abraham, through you I will multiply people, your people, as numeral as the sands on the sea. Sure. But then God says, once he got his first son, God says, go sacrifice him. How strong is your faith today? It's Mother's Day. Father's Day will be here soon. Would you be willing to offer your son as a sacrifice if God asks you? Now you might say, well, now that's crazy, Pastor. He doesn't do that. Well, he did. And the word says God doesn't change. No, you see, today I believe in the context that he would ask you to sacrifice your son or your daughter is to give them to him. Give them to him. Offer them to him. Let go. Let go, you've heard the cliche, let go and let God. But see, that's hard because we want to control our kids. We want our kids to do what we want to do, and we want them to be what we want them to be, or we expect them to be. And so we try to hang on. And the whole time, God's saying, let go. That takes faith. It takes faith, especially when you know they're not headed in a direction they should be going. It takes faith. How strong is your faith? Is it strong enough to let go and to trust God with your kids? And not just hoard them for yourself? You see, even men, I know it's Mother's Day, but this just came to me, even men try to live, you take their sons and control them and live their own life out through their sons. And that's not God's plan. God's plan is for them to live their own lives. And you see it, I've seen it all through the years. You see it especially in sports and athletics. Men trying to live their old life out through their sons. And so they push and drive their sons to something that maybe they're not even called to. See, it takes faith to let go and let God. It doesn't have to be just your kids. It can be in your own life. It can be in your finances. It can be in all sorts of situations. It takes faith to please God. It takes faith to obey God. And by faith, Abraham obeyed. Because it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested. You see, God never intended for him to kill his son. He just wanted to see where Abraham's faith is. If his faith was strong enough to trust God all the way to his son's throat with a knife. And when Abraham proved his faith, because it was real, God said, don't touch him. Here's a sacrifice over here. Here's a lamb for sacrifice. You see, God sacrificed the lamb so we could have faith. In verse 24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, he was saved from the killing of all the male children, and then he was raised in the very man's house who made the order. But when he became of age, he refused to take on that honor and that glory of man and all the luxuries, and he chose to be one of his own people. In verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured as seeing him as who invisible, God. And by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. You see, when the plague was to come to kill all the firstborn, and God said, put the blood over the doorpost. By faith, Moses had the people do that. And it spared all their children of the Israelites. When they got to the Red Sea with nowhere to go, and God parted the Red Sea, and there's walls of water on each side just rolling, ready to crash in. By faith, Moses led them through, trusting God. Whereas when the Egyptians tried to cross, they were drowned and wiped out. You see, by faith, we operate and move and relate to God. It's by faith that we have a relationship with God. It's by faith that we receive salvation. So, how do we increase our faith? How do we increase our faith? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, everyone's given a measure of faith according to what God distributes. But that measure of faith that God gives us doesn't remain. It's not. He doesn't intend for us to keep that measure. He expects us to increase that faith. He expects us to take that measure and increase it, deepen it, widen it, strengthen it, grow it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's a simple answer, and it's the only answer. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to increase your faith? Read, study, absorb, feed on God's word. There's no substitute. There's no substitute. It's faith. And your faith will, as you read this word and you engage this word, young people, it'll work for you too. You probably hate school and hate reading, but if you'll indulge yourself in God's word, it'll change your life. And you won't have to endure a whole lot. You will avoid a lot of what your parents didn't avoid because they didn't do it. If you'll do it now and start at a young age, ask your parents. They'll tell you, if they're honest with you, I could have avoided a whole lot if I'd have started this at a young age, at your age. But I don't care what age you are. Faith does not stop growing if you keep feeding it. If you keep hearing God's word, knowing God's word, your faith will increase, and it will continually increase until the last breath you take. And you know what? That's what God intends. That's what God intends. And if the church had more faith, we'd see more power in the church. We see more change in people and more change in our community and our world. Everything is driven by faith. Everything hinges on faith. And it's faith in Jesus Christ and God's word. Everything. So, how strong is your faith? You see, we can think, We do a devotional every day. We go to church every week or some weeks, and we do the churchy things, and we do all the things for God, and we think we got a strong faith. And then we read something like Abraham, or Moses. And that gives us a reality of where our faith is at. But that's where our faith can be. God didn't intend faith just for Abraham and Moses to be that strong. He intends for every person that has a relationship with Jesus Christ to have that same faith of Abraham and Moses. And you can. You can. It's not impossible. But it takes effort on your part. Abraham didn't get his faith by osmosis. Moses didn't get his faith by osmosis. In fact, they paid a price for the faith. But they sought. They diligently sought God. And their faith was increased. And they were obedient because of their faith. So let me conclude with James talks about faith. He says faith without works is dead. And he says a dead faith is worse than no faith at all. It's worse than no faith at all. He says faith must work. Faith takes work. Faith must produce. Faith must be visible. You know, verbal faith is not enough. Mental faith is insufficient. Faith must be there, but it must be more. It must inspire. It must inspire action. Faith endures trials. Faith endures trials, and it just doesn't survive them. Faith hits trials head on. It faces them head on. And that faith develops endurance from trials. Faith understands temptations. Faith obeys the word. Faith does not merely hear the word, it does the word. Faith produces doers of the word. Faith doesn't harbor prejudice. It doesn't show favoritism. Faith displays itself by action, by works. You see, faith is more than just words. It's more than knowledge. It's demonstrated by obedience, and it responds to the promises of God. Faith controls the tongue. Faith acts wisely. It gives us the ability to choose wisdom, wisdom that's godly. And faith gives us the ability to shun wisdom that's earthly, worldly. Faith produces separation from the world and submission to God. Faith provides the ability to resist the devil. Faith provides the ability to draw near to God. Faith works and waits patiently for the coming of the Lord. In trials and in tribulations, faith eliminates complaining. James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. See, we can hear the word all day long, but if it doesn't have an impact on our life, if it doesn't change something in us, we're just deceived. We're listening to the word and think we're okay. No, we have to be doers of the word. Faith creates doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. James says, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, his religion is useless, or his faith is useless. You see, Faith changes things. Faith changes me. Faith changes you. It changes people, and it changes things around people. Faith eliminates the need for our own desires to be had above others. Faith without works is dead. Faith creates humility. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Faith establishes in your heart the Word of God. And when the Word of God is established in your heart, faith grows. It increases. That measure of faith that God gives is increased. So again, what is faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Are you hearing God's Word? Are you doing God's Word? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let's pray. We come to church, maybe do a devotional for 5 minutes a day. But what is our measure of faith? And what are we doing with it? How strong is your faith? Is your faith getting stronger each day? You see, trials will come. Challenges will come. Life will come. And we don't know when it comes. And that's why faith is so important. God gives us faith to use, to strengthen, to grow, to encourage, to impart, and to live. So how's your faith this morning? If you're not satisfied with your faith, if you're not satisfied with your measure of faith and the strength of it, then it's on you. It's up to you to strengthen it. God will when you will. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you'll draw near to God, your faith will increase. But we have a part. See, God gives a measure of faith to every believer. And it's up to the believer to take that faith and to grow it, to strengthen it, and to utilize it, not just sit with it. Because there's something about faith. It's not something that just sits on a shelf and doesn't change. If you don't increase it, if you don't strengthen it, if you don't nurture it, it doesn't just stay in that same measure. That measure shrinks. Your measure of faith will shrink if you don't increase it and strengthen it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Lord, let your words pierce deeply into our hearts, like the two-edged sword separating even bone and marrow. I pray, Lord, that as it goes deep, it produces a deeper, stronger measure of faith. Help us to increase our faith so that we can be and do what you want us to be and do. In Jesus' name, amen.